September 25th, the new Fox Tuesday kicks off with New Girl's new season. Then welcome Ben and Kate.
Stay away from my sister before you find out what 6 years of Krav Maga feels like.
Well, like year and a half plus like 4 years on and off I was traveling.
Followed by another all-new New Girl.
What am I looking at here?
Pure, unadulterated friendship.
And the Mindy Project.
Can't believe you're tattling.
Tattling is when a little girl does it, okay? When a hot woman does it, it's called whistleblowing.
The new Fox Tuesday, from your September 25th on Fox.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's So You Think You Can Dance After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's So You Think You Can Dance After Show.
Nice. I wasn't sure we were going to have the intro music. Hey, boys, hey, girls, we're back. So You Think You Can Dance. This is episode 14, season 9. Bing is for doing. We're doing it big. The finale before the finale. This is what we like to call it, I guess, right? I'm your host, AJ Gibson. Joined again by my lovely co-host to my left. We've got Corinne Williams. Say hello, Corinne.
Hey.
Those lips are,
they're popping.
Juicy.
Smell it, buff.
Also, the ever lovely Kristen Burt.
Hey, guys.
Ever lovely. Is that a thing?
Ever lovely. I'll take it because we are limping to the finish.
Oh, Lord.
Help.
We're all, and here's the thing. When you know you're big fans of the show, and I think it's a general consensus in here, we are kind of limping to the finale.
We are. It's been a long summer.
It's been a long, long summer. There were some great performances tonight. Not a lot of them,
though. Not a lot.
But we're going to dig right in.
Let's do it.
We've got guest judge Rob Marshall tonight. What do you know about him, Kristen?
Well, he is an Oscar winner, if you guys remember back in 2003, for Chicago. So if you haven't seen the film, I highly recommend it. A really different interpretation than what you've seen on the stage if you've seen it in New York or any of the national tours. But really, he's a fantastic choreographer and a director.
And complete coincidence, there was a Chicago number in the show tonight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, complete coincidence. That was.
Well, they used the song,
yes,
not the number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Get your life.
Yeah. They also announced at the top of the show, they remind us of the top four this year. Again, we're reminded there's going to be one female and one male winner. Mm-hmm. And they're going to split $200,000, is that correct?
$200,000 and a cover of Dance Spirit magazine.
Okay, well, here's the thing. A cover, that's neat, like a cover of Dance Spirit magazine.
Dance Spirit,
okay.
That's neat.
The dancers and like people in the dance community already know who these people are.
Correct.
They watch this show. They right. So what does that cover really mean? Like, it's not like people. Right?
Right.
It's big in the dance world, though.
Huge in the dance world. And you know what? It'll give them a little bit more street cred when they start teaching at a lot of the competitions and things like that and workshops.
So the value when it comes later, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It'll raise their stakes in terms of, and they can autograph the cover.
Oh.
Stuff like that, you know?
Okay.
You become a TV personality.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I was in TV Guide a couple times. I'm just saying, I was never on a cover, though. So, our first number of the night is Apostle Doble. We've got Cyrus and Eliana paired together. I'm going to let you ladies take this one because I missed the first number of the night. I was stuck in traffic. I'm a terrible host right now. To you ladies, this is all you. What you got?
You sure are.
All right. Well, you know, this one was... Cyrus was a little bit sloppy, I thought. Clearly, Paso Doble is not his forte. But you know, everything he does with enthusiasm, which I think is fantastic. He did do this cartwheel that the judges did talk about, and it was like...
it was a wrap.
It was horrible. It was not Olympic-worthy cartwheel by any means. It was a hot mess.
This is actually them prepping for this
It
number,
is them
isn't
rehearsing,
it?
Okay. And you see the sloppy cartwheel happening as well. But, you know... He tries, and you know what? When he tries, you get a lot out of him. You get a lot of heart, and you get a lot of technique, too, believe it or not.
Well, he just makes people smile.
Yeah. You just have to like him.
What did you think, Corinne?
I mean, I wasn't moved by the dance number at all. to Kristen's point, the cartwheel, I put WTF. Mm. What's going on with the wheel? But, I mean, I like it.
For all of our iTunes listeners who are used to that beautiful, beautiful, sexy voice that Corinne's usually rocking.
Party over.
Mary J. concert?
Me and Mary. Me, Mary, D'Angelo, and Melanie Fiona. We had a night on Sunday.
I heard about it. How was it?
Thanks, Amir. Yeah, this party is over. Her voice is gone.
D'Angelo's been popping up again lately.
Oh, yeah.
Came out of nowhere. He's been gone for a while.
Mm.
Mm. He's back.
But he's back.
Okay.
Sound like you
had some fun.
Yep.
So this first
too
number.
Much.
It was fine. I mean, I think the bottom line is, too, we've seen some great pasodobles on Dancing with the Stars, and this actually didn't really compare. And, you know, we've seen some non-professional dancers actually do a better job. So.
Yeah.
Eh.
There have been some great paso numbers on that other.
They really have, and it's a style that they bring back quite a bit on Dancing with the Stars. And, you know,
Mel B, I think she did a paso on there. It was phenomenal with Maxim.
Yeah, she did.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, it's known for the quick step and the staccato moves, and, mm-hmm. and you know, I thought it was fine. I mean, it was a good way to open the show, but other than that, next.
Do you know what is it with... Perfect. I'm so glad. Black and red. What is it with black and red and pasos? Why does that always seem to be... It gives the bowl, the cape thing, that one, correct?
Yeah.
And the black is just, it's a very masculine, very... Yeah.
And they swapped it up on this one. They had...
Cyrus was the cape.
And she was playing the matador, so... Yeah, a little bit.
That's pretty fair,
Spanish
I think.
Spanish flair. There you go.
That was cute.
So our next number, we've got a Sonia Taya number. She choreographed a number for Tiffany and Will. Will from season...
Four.
Made a comeback. Another all-star. That's right.
I loved Will.
That's right.
He was so hot.
What did you think of this number?
I like the number. I like the two of them together, actually. I thought they were evenly paired, matched, and I just couldn't take my eyes off of either one of them equally.
Yeah, it was really nice because she's so petite, Tiffany, compared to Will. He was, you know, bigger, stronger, but they had a lot of chemistry. There was some wonderful fluidity to the dance, which I just loved. I think it actually was my favorite Sonya piece all season.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. They were, you know, the chemistry again, and, you know, three times. So I kept on mentioning this, but Kat kept on going, it was joyful. It was so joyful. But it really was. It was a lovely number. They were magical together. And to me, I still, you know, I love Tiffany. I love Tiffany.
Tiffany is peaking at just the right moment.
The right
She's coming
time.
On strong. Like, I always joked about this. You were out of town for a few weeks, but the running joke with Corinne and I every week was, I'm like, Corinne, who is that girl? I've never seen her before. I thought her name was Audrey or Aubrey or whatever.
That was the girl that another looked one. Like her.
And they talked about it today.
Yeah, and when we get to her package a little bit later, she actually talks about how nobody knew her earlier in the season. Yeah. And she's coming on just the right. That's what the show's about, though. It's really about peaking at the end of the season. So many of those big dancers come out early on, and you're like, wow, they're going to run away with it. And then they just kind of...
There's no
improvement.
They go home.
Yeah. So... I can't wait to talk about this next number, only because it's the first one I saw.
Welcome to the show, AJ.
Made it to the studio
and
by number three.
And it's his favorite.
Mm-hmm. Keon and Eliana. They did a ballet number, actually, together, kind of. Which was nice to see them kind of both in their own element a little bit. Keon looked real good in those white pants.
Yes, he did. His legs were amazing.
His legs are insane.
His buttons were very strong looking.
His buttons?
Buns.
Oh, well, his buttons look good too. But no.
Whatever those are.
He's strong.
He is. He's got a true ballet dancer's body. And I mean, if you go to the ballet, you'll see a lot of men in white tights, but he's got the build, he's got the ballet butt, and he's got the quads that you see. Because they're the foundation when it comes to partnering. And this is where we saw Keon's partnering shine. I saw a comment last week in the YouTube comments saying, let's throw down
Uh-oh.
On this one. Because, and we get to this later. You know, Keon really showed his strength as a ballet partner, but he has struggled with his partnering. And someone was like, no, he's been a great partner all season. No, he hasn't.
Yeah, thank you for the YouTube comments. However, we will comment back.
I will comment
you
back.
Agree.
Because I do disagree. And, you know, and I trained as a ballet dancer. And that's where you see, like, his strength. And we've seen him struggle. And it's not saying that he's a bad partner, but he has struggled with different types of lifts and contemporary and things like that because it is different weight shifts. He's used to doing all those press, like, deadlifts and things like that. And exactly, they were talking about how hard it is. He's able to do that. He wasn't as great at some of the more fluid lifts that we see in contemporary dance.
Well, I will say this. Yeah. I have never trained as any sort of dancer. And I think of the top two men this year, probably the two worst partners I've seen on the show in years. I think that Cyrus, obviously, this is all new to him. But I think that Keon has been, he's struggled as a partner. He's missed some lifts and missed some like partnering skills that I think that we take for granted because we see such great partnering season after season after season where it looks just like a second nature. But Keon really has struggled this year.
Last week with Whitney.
Yes.
He almost that dropped her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And Whitney, I mean, Whitney's, granted, she's come from a career of partnering, but you'd think as a ballet dancer that Keon would have better partnering skills.
It's just a different mindset, too. And it's why he has improved tremendously because as a dancer, you're always counting in eights. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is either set four or set in eight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's had to do with all these, like, different types of syncopated rhythms. Mm-hmm. So it's a challenge. And I think it's the same thing with the partnering. It's just a different type of...
Does weight play a factor in it, too?
It does.
Because ballet dancers are more lean.
They're more lean. He's used to lifting, you know, 90-pound dancers. And he's lifting dancers that are solid muscle here. So let me set that right straight. But no one's fat. But everyone, they just weigh more because a lot of these girls are muscle-bound.
And in all fairness, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the world of ballet, it seems like a lot of the partnering skills, he's pretty set when they're going into a lift. And in ballroom, it's a lot of quick movements right into lifts. Yeah. And he's wearing ballroom shoes, and it's a lot of spinning into lifts. And it just seems different to me.
It does.
It seems like he has more of an opportunity to be grounded going into these lifts as a ballet dancer.
You have a cue. When you are doing ballet lifts, the female usually does a plie. And oftentimes you'll grab the wrists of the man, and you're able to squeeze the arm to say, I'm ready. The plie is happening. Here we go.
A lot of ballroom lifts, they come out of spins and boom, straight up, right?
They do. It's a different type of communication with the dancers, between ballet dancers and ballroom dancers. So it's just something that he had to adjust to. It's not saying that, you know, he's an awful dancer. He's
or
not.
An awful person.
No, he's not. We were just saying.
We love you.
He has struggled. He has struggled a little bit. But hey, you know what? He's shown lots of strides, especially tonight with all the different
and
types of dance.
And in his defense, I can say that, I'm not a dancer, but I dabbled for a while as a child. And I remember my sister and I used to practice the lift from Dirty Dancing for years. We practiced in the swimming pool. I could never lift her because I wasn't strong enough. But what I'd do, get down in front of the couch on my knees. We put a whole bunch of pillows on the couch. And she'd run, and I'd try to lift her, and I'd drop her onto the couch every time.
So no stitches.
no stitches. So, Keon, I feel for you, buddy. It's rough. It's a rough life for the dancer.
You're an idiot.
Thank you, Corinne. I really appreciate the support. Our next number is Tassandra Chavez. Chavez number. Tiffany and Cyrus paired together. I feel like we see them a lot early on in the show. This is both their second number already. The story basically behind this is that Cyrus is Tiffany's first boyfriend. It's a Beyonce number, Best Thing I Never Had. Corinne, you know, I guess. I got some struggles when it comes to this song. But I'm just saying, I enjoyed it, though.
You didn't even know the song.
Well, no, I didn't know what the song was about. I learned what it was about a couple times. But, no, I think that this is a beautiful number. And also, I thought it was interesting that... let's talk about the dance first before I actually talk about the comments. What did you think about the dance?
I actually really loved it. And I think it really shows to me... This is no secret. I love Tiffany, but it shows the versatility of what Tiffany's capable of. Because mm-hmm. I look at her body type and I think she's just going to show me one thing all season long. And she's really done a nice job of like moving through different styles of dance and everything. And then I thought Cyrus, you know, again, he's another one that has really, you know, taken all the challenges presented before him and really attacked it. And they both really attacked the dance, which mm-hmm. was nice.
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. I said they were just hipping and hopping.
They were.
And Tiffany was working it.
Exactly.
For this to be like a hip-hop number, she was moving that body so fluidly. I said, get it, girl.
I really bought the story, too. I really felt like they really, as partners, really, really connected. And I felt like she was just going through heartbreak in every moment of that dance. I feel like she was going through heartbreak. And he was, too. Because at the end of the day, it's never completely one-sided. But she was trying. She was, she was all over him.
She loved
him.
She
did it.
I get it, Tiffany. I'd be all over
him,
too.
Get it, Tiff.
But then Nigel pointed out something interesting that neither of these two have ever been in the bottom.
Yeah.
Bottom two or three, which is interesting because, like I said, I never even know who Tiffany is until, like, last week. And she's never been in the bottom. She's kind of, like, under the radar the entire season.
She was. Late
Very
bloomer.
Wise.
Yeah.
Yep, and as we've been saying, she's peaking at the right moment. Is this going to be enough for her to really shine with all the viewers? I think it is, but, you know, Eliana's giving her a good run for her money. And honestly, on the girl's side, to me, no matter who wins, it's a victory, honestly. Yeah.
Well, it's really
great.
Interesting because I'm just going to touch on this really quickly. Tiffany talks about in her package how she never really got introduced to anybody earlier on the season. So, like, each episode would go by, and she's like, I don't even see myself anywhere. But these girls that got these huge, you know, introductions to us, you know, the Amelia
Lindsay,
and Amber's
Whitney.
Backstory, and Lindsay and Whitney as being best friends. And what was the blonde girl that had no emotion that got cut really early? She was in every single
Alexis?
Episode. Yes.
Yeah.
And they got so much airtime earlier on in the season that it almost seemed unfair. But yet here we are going to the finale, and Tiffany's still standing.
And we were thinking Tiffany was Aubrey, and Aubrey was Tiffany.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I think Tiffany's story was probably, they talked a lot about her dancing with her sister and things like that. It just was nice. It was a nice story, but it didn't really. Yeah.
But it didn't really.
It didn't have that heartbreak or that struggle that people like to see.
Yeah, she probably came from the suburbs, had a nice life growing up, and just it's been easy for her. But she, it's interesting that, and I'm talking about it a lot more than I wanted to, but in her package piece, she talked about how much dancing means to her and how she's had to bust her butt to get people to see even notice her. She said that when they were in Vegas, it was the very first time that anybody ever actually made a comment
to her.
Yeah, and she started bawling as soon as that happened.
See, it means a lot to her, which I think is sweet.
And also, you know, as from a production standpoint, like, they're smart to put that, bring that out now.
Of course.
It makes you pull for her now.
Vote.
I was Team Eliana last week. Now I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know.
I'm still Team Ellie.
I'm still Team Amber.
I'm still
Ellie. Let's bring up Amber once more.
Amber won't do it.
Give it
up. Amber's been gone.
Only because she reminds me of Brandon. Moving on, we've got a group number. Okay, Tice DiIorio choreographed this number. We all know how I feel about Tice.
I love Tice.
I love his choreography. His choreography is usually so fun for me. I love the whole Broadway style, but
this
number was so confusing to me.
I didn't like it. Tice.
I felt like he tried to choreograph the number in a way that it was like obscure and interesting, but giving every single person their moment. And what that really did, though, was I felt like it did a disservice to every single dancer. Like, look, I'm going to call you out right now, and look, this is going to be your section of the dance because I know you can't hang with the other dancers. That's how it felt like to me. I'm like, no, just put them all through the same thing. I mentioned that back in, what was it, season 2 when Benji won? Is it Benji, Heidi, Travis, and was it Danielle? Was she in the finale? Or
I thought she was the one.
I think they were like top 4, I think, but they did that paparazzi number. And with the flashing cameras, and it was one of the sexy back. It was Justin Timberlake, one of the hottest group numbers I've ever seen on the show, and it was the top 4. And this didn't even come close to holding a candle to it. This was so forgettable. I think this was probably for me the worst number of the entire night. It was just so odd and discombobulated, and just didn't make sense.
Yeah, explain
that from a dancer's perspective.
Well, he was trying to highlight everyone's strengths, so everyone had their section, and that's why Eliana did the ballet, and, you know, you had a little bit of animated section for Cyrus and things like that. But honestly, it was really a forgettable number. I felt like choreographically, it was just phoning it in. And all I wrote for that number was horrible group number. I mean, there really wasn't anything to talk about. It was disjointed. It didn't have that fluidity. Nothing tied in together. So
I wrote down symphony just so I'd remember what the number even was because it sounded like a symphony. And then I wrote down weird as hell.
Well, it makes me think, too, the group number. Usually we start off the show with a group number.
Yeah.
It's big and it's dynamic. And this was so forgettable, they just threw it in the middle.
Well, and also, I like to see in these group numbers, I want to see every single person doing the same thing so I can compare them side by side. I don't, like, I already know that Cyrus is great at what he does.
Right.
I want to see him do some ballet, and I want to see Keon do some whatever animating that Cyrus. I want to see that. I want to compare the two side by side. Like, it just, it felt, as a viewer, I just felt like, look, they're all getting chances to do solos again. And the solos this season, quite honestly, have been pretty boring.
But it's been the same
been
week
the same,
after week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The same.
Corinne has no thoughts on this number. She didn't care about
it at all. It was whack. I didn't even write it down. Sorry. It was.
Sorry, Tice.
Oh, well.
All right. Good so job. Now moving on, we've got our first solo of the night. Eliana, she's in a tutu. ... Shocking. That's what I wrote down.
Nothing to say.
She's phenomenal, but she's always in a tutu.
Every solo. She's in that little tutu.
Yeah.
I think it's the same one.
Yep. And she was in her point shoes a lot tonight, so I just thought we need to give it a rest. I would like to have seen her do something else besides her ballet solo.
Again, I feel like it does her a disservice because I feel like watching Tiffany, I'm like, Tiffany seems much more balanced. I feel like she's got a lot. She can do everything. Whereas Eliana, I'm like, they've really pushed the ballerina thing all season long, especially tonight, which I thought, I was like, get away from that a little bit.
But she breaks it up, though.
She does.
She does well in other styles, not just ballet.
She does, absolutely.
I don't view her as just ballet.
I just feel like tonight, though, in the finale, they didn't really showcase that a whole lot. And I feel like that was an aggressive cough. That was, wow.
Yeah, maybe off mic.
Sorry.
Yeah, Corinne really struggled. She, that concert.
Oh, well. Sorry, y'all.
That concert must have been a lot of fun.
Get into it.
Get your
I'm
life.
Sorry.
Get your life.
iTunes people are going to be dying.
Get into it.
Sounds like she's dying. All right, so this is first solo. Eh, it's all right.
Yeah.
Right?
Shoulder shrug.
Next number. We've got a Stacey Tookie number. I love Stacey Tookie so much. Keon and Allison. Allison was an all-star. Brought back from season... I don't even remember. I just remember really loving her.
Two.
Did I say I just remember I loving her?
Yes.
Okay. I got you.
I love
her. I wrote down... there's a sexy jump spin with bent knees.
Yeah.
Keon did.
I said beautiful jump squat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? Explain.
Explain that.
Yes.
I think this is the number that showcased Keon the best mm-hmm. tonight. It took his skills that he's learned in ballet. It took his strength from his legs, but it showed the height. It showed the quality of his turns. It showed off his technique, but it also showed off the emotional side. And he and Allison had some great chemistry. And he is someone that has struggled all season to have chemistry with his partners. So this was really, really important for him, I think, tonight to really showcase all of that. It was a Stacey Tookie choreographed dance, so it was well designed, it was well structured, and it played off of the strengths of both dancers and sort of blended it together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's really interesting how finally at this point in the season some of these, like Keon's story is starting to come through a little bit, and Tiffany's story is starting to come through a little bit, because as a week or so ago, even just last week going in, I was like, Eliana and Cyrus, they're going to run away with it, because nobody knows anything about Tiffany and Keon's a little bit, you know, but they've really been pushing that storyline with his mom, his adopted mother. Tiffany, you're seeing her backstory. I'm really curious to know what our listeners think. I want to know what you guys think, all of our iTunes listeners out there around the world. Thank you again for tuning in all season long. We've got one episode left, and we hope you guys can make next week, but we want to know what you guys think going into the finale.
Yeah.
Who are you guys pulling for? You know, Tiffany, like we said, Tiffany and Keon, they're making a late charge, but is it too little too late, or are they peeking at just the right time? So if you guys on iTunes, please, please, please comment, rate us, please give us 5 stars, or just give us no stars at all, but please give us 5 stars. Let us know what you guys think. Let us know what you guys think about the guests we've had so far this year. We've got a choreographer coming in next week.
Who we've do we got have next an week? Emmy-nominated choreographer.
Emmy-nominated choreographer.
Spencer Liff. So, and he was on last week's show.
Yes, he was.
Not our show, but So You Think You Can Dance last week, and I think it's going to be really exciting to have him. And we haven't had the perspective of a choreographer here on the AfterBuzz TV show.
Yeah, we've had a lot of dancers, no choreo people.
This is going to be exciting. I've got a lot of questions. I'm already like...
So you guys, make sure that you rate us, comment, and tell your friends about us. Tell your friends to watch our show. Tell your friends to listen to get our podcast. If you guys have iPhones out there, like most of the world does now, there's actually an app on your iPhone. It's called Podcasts with an S, and you can download that for free. And what it does is basically you can sign up to all of your favorite AfterBuzz podcasts that will automatically download each week, so you don't have to go out and look for them. So if you're, you know, on the treadmill listening to your favorite shows each week, like I like to do to check in on my co-hosts, it's a really great way to do it, and it's so easy, and it doesn't cost you guys a thing. So we'd really appreciate that, please, and thank you. Moving on, we've got Eliana and Tiffany, our first all-girl number. Correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Ray Leeper choreographed this one, and it was a pole dancing burlesque number, correct?
Yes.
Is that how they described it?
That's what he said.
I'm going to let you ladies start with this. I want to hear a lady's perspective.
There's this rap song that's out, and the lyrics are, "There she go up and down that pole," and that's all I can think of.
Well, I think they're referencing two different types of poles.
But I'm saying, like, watching it, I was like, really? Did they really just do a stripper pole? Is where my mind was on So You Think You Can Dance, a family-based show.
Yeah.
I felt some kind of way about it. And they're young girls.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, especially Tiffany's a young girl. I feel like Eliana seems a little more womanly and statuesque.
Yep.
But watching Tiffany was a little weird for me.
Yeah. Because she has this, like, cute
little
baby face. Mm-hmm. You know, innocent. I don't know.
I mean, if we go back to the history of burlesque, there is some pole dancing, and there is some tradition there. I don't feel like this was choreographed in the tradition of burlesque. And also, we were sort of, tipping our hat to Rob Marshall, who happened to be on the judges panel, and who also choreographed and directed the Oscar-winning 2003 movie Chicago. So it was a nice plug, but it just really wasn't well choreographed, and it was one of those moments that the judges all praised it, and I felt like, are we all watching the same dance? Because it really was awful choreography. There were a lot of how can I say this appropriately? There were a lot of crotch shots to the camera that I don't think were appropriate.
Which is interesting because they stage all of that ahead of time. For like those of you listening and watching who don't know, this is all very set up. These camera angles, everything on these shows are planned down to the second.
Yeah.
So they knew exactly what they were doing. It was a little odd.
Some of the choreography was a little bit crude, I would say. Mm-hmm. not in a burlesque way, because burlesque is like sexy, but in a way that's classy. And I felt some of this was just trashy. Mm-hmm. There was some interesting pole work. I know they talked about that at the end. That was beautiful. You saw the lines with Eliana and Tiffany, which I thought was nice. But the rest of it was just like a bunch of running around, a bunch of stuff that I thought was a little offensive choreographically. Overall, if you look at it as a dance, it was different pieces, nothing really stood together.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm so glad you said that, because I felt like the dance never really gelled. It was never like one cohesive, like there was never a story. I like watching a dance where there's a story to it, and this just is like, look, we're gonna do some pole work, we're gonna do some Broadway, blah blah, hands, and then back on a pole. And also, it is the thing about burlesque is that, not that I know a lot about burlesque, being the gay man on the panel. However, I can appreciate it, and I see the skill that it takes to do this pole work and to dance in that style. But I feel like Eliana, she has a maturity, a grace about her that she's able to portray that a little bit better. Whereas Tiffany, no fault of her own, she's just a child trying to be sexy. She's not a woman.
She doesn't have that maturity yet in her dancing that Eliana has. And that'll come in time, and that does come with age and everything else, because I'm going to guess that Tiffany is probably under 21 and Eliana's
like
over 21. Yeah. So, and that's what you can definitely see the differences right there. And, you know, something I just want to mention, like Pussycat Dolls were known for bringing back burlesque, you know, probably 5 to 8 years ago. But if you look at that, like a lot of what they do, or the tradition of how they started, was a lot more classy than what we saw on TV tonight.
Yeah. I thought it was a bit of a miss. It also kind of frustrated me a little bit that in so many seasons in the past, I feel like, and again, I want to see these two up against each other doing, it is Eliana's style more so than anything that was suited to Tiffany. So again, it's like their one chance is these two girls to go head to head and they do a pole number. If I were Tiffany, I wouldn't be very happy about that. You know what I mean? And I feel like after this entire season, their long journey they've been on, their one chance to like try to outshine their one competitor on the show, and this is what they give them?
Well, and if you go back, if you go and look later on, we see what the men's duet was, which was a beautiful, strong duet choreographed by Sonia. You put the two against each other and you go, the girls' dance was kind of offensive.
Yeah.
And you think of what the demographic is for their show, and a lot of kids under 18 watch it. I know that when my cousins were younger, this was their favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know as a parent if I'd be like, yeah, this was exactly awesome for them to watch.
Well, and also, I feel like, and this has happened a lot more this season, and like I said, I'm a huge fan of the show, and of Nigel Lithgow in particular. I think he's genius, but this season, I feel like he's made some comments towards female dancers that are a little bit out of character for him, and I don't really understand it. Like he pulled out his handkerchief and was blotting his head. I'm like, these women are fighting for this championship, essentially, and $100,000, and they're shot at stardom and whatever else, and he's reduced it to, I'm going to blot off my head because I'm sweating, and make it, sexualizing an 18-year-old on stage.
And they're young, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. It didn't really sit very well.
It just was an inappropriate number, in my opinion. It shouldn't be on a family-style show.
I want to see strong women dancing their hearts out.
Yeah.
And competing for that title.
It just makes me think that they're running out of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as, like, enticing viewers.
So. You know what they could have done? A Bollywood number. I want more Bollywood.
I love
Bollywood. Female Bollywood number. It's my favorite style on the show. They've done like one all season.
And that can be sexy and classy.
Yes.
Done.
And strong.
Party
oh well.
Over.
Shame on you, Fox. But then we get another solo.
Cyrus.
Sci.
Yeah. No different from anything he's done all season, but you know what? When you're that great,
it's Cyrus.
Who cares? Yeah, I love his solos. His solos are so cool.
Yeah, they're so interesting and they're different.
Completely.
Yep.
And then we have another solo, which is kind of odd. Whole entire episode was kind of just like thrown together.
Well, it was only four of them. They didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I felt like they were like, who's ready? Go, next.
You, wardrobe, change.
It's like all of a sudden a community, like, dance concert, like, community theater. I mean, I think next week I'm kind of worried because I'm like, what's going to happen? Because we're just trying to wait for 2 hours till they announce the winner.
Well, they'll bring everybody back to do their favorite dances, and then that's it.
Which could be kind of a fun episode. This second to last episode, though, was really, really kind of...
It was dry toast.
Yeah. I think next week will be a lot of fun.
It better be.
Fox needs
I think our show is going to be fine because we have Spencer.
Well, I think it will too. But you know, I think Fox needs to have a big finale because Fox has got a big fall coming up. We need to talk about that for just a moment.
Yes, we do.
If you guys are fans of comedy, Fox has such a lineup for you this fall. I could not be a bigger fan. First of all, New Girl's coming back.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes. New Girl's coming back. And if you guys don't watch New Girl, Zooey Deschanel, who was a guest judge on So You Think You Can Dance earlier in the season.
The worst one.
Not the best judge, but she is hilarious, hilarious, hilarious on New Girl.
She is.
It's coming back. Actually, this premiere is on the 25th, Tuesday nights is where it's at as far as comedies go. They're opening the night, 8 o'clock with the New Girl. It's a funny, funny show. It's like, for me, it's like the funniest ensemble cast since Friends. If you, have you guys watched the show?
I do. It is so funny.
It's just the roommate situations with one girl, three guys living together, and she's got her hot girlfriend. Like, the way they all interact with each other, I haven't seen a cast like this in a long time, and I'm dead serious because I kind of miss comedy. There haven't been a lot of really great comedies on in recent years, but especially something like this. Like, this old-style comedy is so, so, so funny. Oh, hey, hey.
Gotcha.
And then we're following it up with another a new show for Fox called Ben and Kate, season premiere for them. Then we go into a second new episode of New Girl. So we get not one, but two episodes of New Girl on Tuesday the 25th. And then this show, you guys, I'm super excited. Probably the show that I'm most excited about this season, The Mindy Project.
Yeah.
I saw it.
I did, too. I watched it. I watched it, actually, before I came here tonight.
So good.
Mindy Kaling, she was originally, she came from The Office.
The Office.
So excited. She... Her comedic timing is so genius, and it's really interesting to see, like, for Fox to put a character like her, an Indian American girl who's not the most petite or the most gorgeous by traditional standards, but she's hot in her own way.
She's
and
beautiful.
She is hilarious on this show. The pilot, you guys, if you haven't seen it yet, you can go online and watch it, or you can watch it Tuesday night. It's on. She'll be on at 9:30. It is so, so, so funny. You guys have got to check this out. If you guys are fans of comedy, I promise you will not be disappointed. Fox Tuesday nights is where it's at.
It's going to be one of the breakout hits this season.
It really will be.
Me
too.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I think it's going to be the new night for comedy. We know some other networks have had their runs on different nights, but Fox Tuesday nights, it's going to be huge, I think.
They've got a strong lineup.
They
really
do.
I'm impressed.
I remember back in the day when Fox was still kind of like growing back in the 90s.
It's a good season.
It's a whole different network nowadays. Whole different network, thanks in part to So You Think You Can Dance.
I love it.
Yeah? I love this show. So, moving on.
Yes.
We've got Tiffany. We already talked about Tiffany's package enough.
But best solo of the night,
yeah.
I thought. It
yeah.
was a little bit different, something we haven't seen, and heartfelt after coming out of her package yet again.
Yeah.
We talked about it 1,000 times. But
yeah, she's great. She really is peaking at just the right time.
Yeah.
I'm happy for her. And she seems genuinely, like... She feels like, I feel like she really, not only does she care about dancing, she really appreciates this opportunity.
Yeah.
I love nothing more than people who appreciate things.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, obviously you're talented. It'd be really easy to be like, look, I got this. What? I'm a great dancer. But she doesn't. She takes criticism well, which I also really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love seeing people who can go on stage and then take it from the judges and work on it and make the changes. And she's done that all season long.
Yeah. And that's why she's had this really nice trajectory to the finals.
Absolutely.
Good job.
Good luck, Tiffany. Next, we've got probably, this might be my favorite number of the night. Top two, probably, I'll say. Cyrus and Keon. Now, on the flip side of what we saw from the girls, I'm not going to say it just because they're hot. I mean, they get to touch each other a lot.
Yes, I thought
it was a really strong number. I just thought it was a really great number. I think of some of the numbers in the past that they've done when it came to top four. Years ago, I don't even remember who danced it anymore, but the two men and the guys in the king's chairs. Do you remember the number in the final four? Oh, God, who was it?
No.
But there's certain numbers that just kind of stand out in the finales. I can't remember their names now. I'm such a terrible, terrible fan. But so you guys get on iTunes and let me know so I know for next week. But this is one of those numbers that's going to stand out for me, I think. This number is definitely, they're going to take this number on tour and they're going to perform the hell out of it.
Oh,
Sonya Taya number, she's genius, obviously. There's no arguing that. I thought it was strong and sexy. I thought that it was masculine, but not in a way that was... too masculine. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It was a nice balance. Yeah. There was a softness to it. They didn't muscle their way through everything. Mm-hmm. But there were also some really nice lifts. And we don't get to see really nice men's duets all mm-hmm. that often. So when it does happen and when it's done really well, the way Sonya choreographed it, it's exactly what you get, like you saw tonight.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this recently when Kent Boyd was in the studio. When he did his men's duet, they did the baseball number. And it was a fun number. It was memorable. But I felt like that was a little bit, it's just, oh, look, two buddies, baseball. Like,
kind of corny.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I like that this felt like, I'll only describe it this way, and you can explain to me why I feel this way. It felt to me like a comic book in motion, in that as a child, I know growing up, there's a lot of homoerotic sub-like messages in comic books and in superheroes. They're very masculine, but they also have this, the way they connect, Batman and Robin, the way they connect with each other. That's how I felt watching this. I was like, they're obviously men. There was nothing gay about it, but it was the way they connected with each other. It was on an emotional level that I really, really appreciated, and it was so not offensive to me as a gay man. And it was really actually inspirational, I thought. I thought it was a great number.
Well, and I think it shows that it's okay for men to have a connection. Yes. That's not sexual. That's just friendship, or mm-hmm. that's like, hey, buddy, I care about you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Sonya created through movement, mm-hmm. which I think is beautiful. And I think that just it being so well done. I mean, I think Sonya had a really good night overall choreographically. It might have been my favorite overall Sonya night mm-hmm. All season long, just because I thought she had a really nice balance. But that's exactly what she was showcasing with the men. And the one thing I do like is that they took the two ladies and had a male choreographer, had the two men and had a female choreographer. I know what they mm-hmm. were trying to go and do, but you see how successful it was with the men and how unsuccessful it was with the women.
Well, I think Sonya, like, I'm glad you brought that up. I think Sonya this season has really evolved as a choreographer. She's always been so genius, but she's always been so kind of out there and kind of trippy and kind of crazy. A lot of her choreography is not softened this year, but how do I describe it? It reaches me different emotionally yeah. than her past choreography. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she's on a journey, I think, of her own, and you know, they've alluded to it that she's in love and everything else, but you feel differently when you've got things going on personally, and I think you're seeing that through her choreography.
I really enjoy it. It speaks to me this year. I like it a lot. What do you think, Corinne?
I wasn't as moved as the two of you by the performance, but I enjoyed what Nigel had to say back to the guys. And one thing I noted is what he said to Cyrus, which I thought was really nice. He said he was an inspiration and that he was his favorite person, mm-hmm. you know, in the season or in the competition so far. So I thought that was like...
I thought it was really interesting the way that Nigel, especially on the men's side, made some really interesting comments tonight to these yeah. two guys. He did say he was inspiration, he was his favorite person, but he told Keon he was his favorite dancer. Like we know, though, this show isn't about favorite dancers, so you kind of feel like Nigel might be playing a little bit of some tricks on the voting public as far as this night goes. And we'll get into that in just a second. He makes some comments later that really kind of go there.
Yeah.
I felt also, to give some credit to Cyrus, I felt like Cyrus really held his own in this number.
A little bit.
And this was a strong number, too. And this seemed like it was choreographed for Keon. But Cyrus, he hung in there. I was impressed.
He's hung in all season long. That's what makes me so impressed with him. Because if anyone struggled, he had the biggest obstacles to overcome. Right. And I do feel like Keon struggled more, even though he's got the background and the technique. So it's interesting to watch and to find out that these are the two guys that are standing
right
in the end.
Well, it is interesting because Cyrus, I mean, he does not have a dance background at all. Like, he does is animating, but that, I mean, he's not a dancer. I almost feel like it would almost be like if I got thrown into Vegas Week and said, AJ, make it onto the show and make it to the finale. In all fairness, because, I mean, I've got rhythm is probably as much as he's got. I've never had a class either, but that shows you how exceptional it is that he's doing. I could never make it through Vegas Week. No way. I could make it through one day.
He's getting
Cyrus,
talent.
Cyrus has hung in there week after week after week, and sometimes all it takes to win is just to hang around long enough while everybody else falls by the wayside.
And heart.
Yeah. Oh, and he's got heart for days.
Yeah.
But he's a natural gift.
He wants it.
Mm-hmm. He is a natural gift that a lot of people don't have, and you can take 20 years of dance training and still never have that natural gift. And mm-hmm. Cyrus has it.
We saw it earlier in the season with Alexis. Bring her up again.
Alexis.
She can dance for days, but nothing up here. Nothing. Cyrus is exactly the opposite,
yep.
And I appreciate it.
Sci-fi.
Then we've got, we had another interesting number. We had Jean Suk came in and did a number. He's actually, this is crazy to me. The guy's got one leg. And he did a, well, he's actually, what are they, what style was he? They actually called him a B-boy.
B-boy.
But then it was also, he did a little bit of like a contemporary or lyrical sort of thing in there as well.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. He's like, if you watch the number, throughout the number, he used the crutches, I guess. Or the, were they actually even called crutches? Their arm braces?
They're more like the braces, walker. It's not like a full walker, mm-hmm. but like, yeah.
And it, throughout the number, he slowly, he lost one, then he lost the other. I'm like, he's out there dancing on one leg right now.
Yep.
I'm like, really?
I did a little bit of gymnastics. It looked similar to what you would do on the pommel horse.
Yeah, I did. That was funny. Yeah.
I mean, it was the amount of strength that takes. And yeah. He's a very slight guy, so
yeah.
It was amazing.
And he was out there dancing with one leg. I couldn't even get to the studio on time tonight. I mean, reevaluate my life.
You missed the first two dances, remember?
Yeah, I did.
Together.
I think I got here just in time for three.
Yeah.
Moving on, we've got the last solo of the evening, and that is Keon. I thought it was so beautiful for the 4 seconds that it happened. It felt like a really short solo.
It was so fast.
I understand that.
It was so fast.
It happened.
Yeah, they're all supposed to be the same amount of time. But what I noticed tonight, though, on their solos, they didn't do like the countdown. So you think you can dance.
I'm glad.
I like that. It's kind of like part of the show. No? The crowd starts counting down from 10.
Not for the last.
Yeah,
few.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of felt like his number might not have even lasted 10 seconds.
I think he took so much time in the beginning with the hitting his sides like 4 times. Like, come on, already. Yeah. We see you.
Do something.
Yeah. Do something. Get into it.
We're waiting.
Keon. Next, we've got Travis Wall coming back as a choreographer. Who is just, he's turned into one of my favorite choreographers on the show.
He's hot.
Yeah, he is. He's great.
He is a bundle of talent, and we're going to see so much from him in the next few years, and I think that's what's really exciting. He's working in New York in the theater community. He's working here in Los Angeles in the TV and film community, so expect to hear his name a lot.
Well, it's interesting that, we'll talk about this actually. It's interesting you say that, but first of all, he choreographed this number for Eliana and Alex.
Yep.
Alex Wong came back. I texted Alex earlier. I told him he did a great job. He looked nice in his jeans. You're welcome, Alex.
Let's really talk about that.
But I thought they were a perfect match. I think that they were so, so great together. I think that if you're Eliana and this is like your last number of the season,
perfect.
And you find out that you're paired with Alex Wong.
Hello.
I mean, that's a match made in heaven. Mm-hmm. These two danced. Oh my God. And they got to dance. I Can't Live. What's the song?
Harry Nielsen. Yeah. I Can't Live.
Oh my
Lord.
No
one wants me singing, but you get the idea. Oh.
Can any of us sing in here? Can you sing?
Not today.
Yeah, me.
Clearly.
Either. But I thought the number was so beautiful.
Yeah. I enjoy them two together.
Yeah.
Anytime you are given Travis Wall as your choreographer, you know that you are going to shine, and the choreography you're given is amazing, and you know, you have two beautiful dancers, you've got a great choreographer, it's a win for everyone.
Yeah, and you walk in there thinking, you're nervous about this finale, and you find out, I've got Travis Wall and Alex Wong to work with.
Party over.
Really?
Yeah.
Or if you're Travis Wall, you're thinking, I've got Alex and Eliana to work with. I mean, it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, if I were Tiffany, I'd be like, why wasn't I given Travis? That's what I would think.
Yeah.
A little competitive self.
I'm so, so happy for Alex, especially after meeting him now. He's such a great guy. And for him to have the opportunity, he's been back a lot this season.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to have the opportunity to now come back and really show off what he never got to show off on the show. Yeah. Good for him.
It's great.
Go Alex.
Congrats, Alex.
Woo woo.
And Eliana, of course.
Okay.
Next, we've got Dimitri, another one of our fan favorites from one of the past seasons. He's back choreographing a rumba for Keon and Tiffany. I just wrote down, Tiffany is beautiful.
I just said, Dimitri is really hot. Hey, Dimitri. It's her.
Okay, now for the actual dancer in the room. I say Tiffany is beautiful. She say Dimitri is hot.
Look what I'm giving, folks. All right, let's get to it. Now, it's a rumba, but, you know, it was beautiful. It was lyrical, aided by the music. You know, really wonderful piece by Nora Jones. But I think this is also another piece that we were able to see where Keon has had a little bit of growth and things like that. I mean, it wasn't your classical rumba that we would see like on a Dancing with the Stars kind of thing. This one had, I think, a little bit more fluidity than we've seen in other numbers. And I just think that the two of them floated through it.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. you know, you're almost thinking, this doesn't even look like ballroom.
Right.
But I think that's what made it so unique and so beautiful.
I had to ask you what it was. I'm like, what style is this?
Yeah.
And because part of it looked a little bit I guess, contemporary or lyrical or whatever. Is there such a thing as lyrical? I just make that up every time.
Lyrical is, it's actually, you know, lyrical, I think, was what it was called originally, and now it's moved into contemporary as sort of the sort of catch-all phrase for it.
Also enjoyed the use of the, this was the number with the sheer curtains, correct?
Yeah, when she came through them.
I like that. I thought it was really pretty.
And I thought the stage was used really, really well.
Yeah. And the lighting.
And her costume, she looked so, she just looked beautiful, sexy, but beautiful in that it almost looked like she was wearing like a nightie or something, like a silk, like, ugh. The entire thing just came together very well, I think.
And the one thing you have to remember with Tiffany, the girl is really petite, and she is solid. She's tiny. She's ripped abs. So for her to be able to dance sort of softer can be a challenge with her body type. And to be able to do that and have, you know, the movement extend, just to have that constant flow to the dance. It's really nice.
I was impressed for sure. That was probably one of my other, probably one of my top three favorite nights of the number of the or numbers of the night. I sound like Mary Murphy. She said that earlier.
Emanated.
Yeah, she goes, we have a NAMI emanated choreographer. Like, what?
Really?
Tequila in her mug.
Disco ball. Yeah. Mary tonight.
She did. Oh. And what? She's been looking so good lately too, and she just had an off night tonight.
She did. She's been looking gorgeous, and I was like, who said that? What? That was good outfit.
Yeah. And if you're going to do like a crazy dress like that, do like a simple hairdo. Yep. That's a lot going on.
I liked her hair.
I didn't mind the hair.
With a different dress.
With a different dress, I would have liked it, I think.
Yep.
That's a lot going on. But look, there's Eliana up on that screen. So we've got our final dance of the night. We've got Cyrus and Twitch, Christopher Scott number. And this is probably what a lot of people have been waiting for all season long. I say it a lot, but I think though, because I'm not a dancer, I always compare Cyrus to Twitch, even though their styles are obviously very different. But as a non-dancer and as a viewer of the show, it's all kind of the same to me. Animating and crumping and pop locking, all these different styles, to me, they're all different variation of street styles. I don't know any difference.
They all have the same foundation, and then they sort of branch off.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to see these two guys finally get to come together, it was pretty exciting. I thought it was a perfect way to end the show.
And that they waited for this. They waited all season for this. They made it the last number of the night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Twitch is exciting. Yeah. Cyrus, when he does his, you know, animator type of style, is super exciting. So them together, I mean, that's a win.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that I still watch Twitch.
Yep.
I was going to say that, too. My eyes just gravitate towards him. He's more of the entertainer.
Yeah.
Just because he's been around longer in the performing world, probably.
You know what I think? What this made me realize tonight, finally, and it's something I've struggled with the entire season with Cyrus, and I think I finally understood it in this one number. Cyrus is really great in moments, and then I feel like he doesn't connect or link or whatever.
Transitions.
Yes.
Transitions.
I feel like he's in it, then all of a sudden he goes into something else, and it's like he just takes a step, like he's just walking. Whereas Twitch, he doesn't just walk, he does a little shake while he walks, and there's always something going on. Cyrus, his face, sometimes he can lose it in moments, but then he's back in it. Whereas Twitch is nonstop, balls out. I mean, the guy can perform anything. And that, I mean, it's why he's Twitch.
Yeah, and I mean, this is where it comes down to, like, who's the better trained dancer? Because even if you lose it in a moment, if you get lost in what the next step is or anything else, Twitch is always going to have that technique to fall back on, yeah, to somehow make a transition, think ahead without showing, oh gosh, I'm screwing up right now. He has that experience that Cyrus doesn't. And that's exactly where it showed tonight and things like that. You know, Twitch was in it the whole time. And Cyrus, he was definitely there and he was present, you know, but you knew that going into, he thought, okay, here's the second section of the dance. He was thinking about it. You see it on his face. And we haven't seen that much this season, but when you put, you know, someone that is such an incredible, out of this world dancer like Twitch next to Cyrus, that's when you start seeing the differences.
So is that really what it comes down to, is experience? Because that makes sense to me, I guess.
Yep.
Because I guess, like, I watch hosts that I would like to emulate someday, or I watch, you know, a Ryan Seacrest and or whoever, and the way they're able to ad lib so quickly when things are going wrong is really impressive to me. And it's something that, I mean, I think we all work on. Some people are better than others, but I know I have a lot of work. But it's the same thing, I guess. Right?
I think it's comfort and familiarity.
Yeah.
The more you do, the more able you are to do your transitions more seemingly.
That does make sense.
Well, yeah, it really is. I mean, and you can use great examples. Ryan Seacrest at the Oscars with Sacha Baron Cohen as the dictator threw pancake batter on his tux. You know what? Ryan Seacrest kept his cool. And, you know, he knew how to sort of make his way out of that, even though, you know, he was really angry about it. Or you take an Olympic athlete, someone that's an experienced Olympian that maybe has done two different Olympics, you know, maybe did Athens and Beijing. If something happens, it doesn't go their way, they know how to sort of save that moment and hopefully get themselves into the finals. You'll see it with gymnasts being able to save that moment and still make it to the final competition or whatever.
That reminds me, I need to say one thing real quick. Shout out to Serena Williams.
Speaking of
being able to pull through in moments.
She did that.
I've got to give her a quick shout out because unreal.
Perfect example of
where experience comes through.
Yeah.
You know, she's playing in her 18th Grand Slam final against a girl who's playing in her second and who she should have lost that match. Serena really should have.
She was about to.
I just had an aha moment. You just taught me something, Oprah. I like that. So you guys.
Am I Oprah?
Yeah, you Oprah Sweet. Now. So basically what we learned tonight is that if you keep practicing, you could be Twitch someday.
Yep.
No, not going to happen. He's a one of a kind.
But you could be the Twitch of hosting.
That's right. Oh, I could be the Twitch of hosting.
I'm just here to help you.
Corinne is rolling her eyes so hard right now.
Party over.
So hard
Party
right now.
Over.
I will also say, though, really quickly that I wrote down... I won't say what I wrote down. I was really upset with Nigel at the end of this number, though, because he talked to the two guys.
Mm.
And he said... And I felt like this was so
inappropriate
and unnecessary. He flat out told Cyrus, I think you're great. I'm not voting for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm voting for Keon. And he said it multiple times.
Because he's a better dancer.
Because he's a better dancer than you are. And I'm a dancer, so I have to go with... Well, and that's the thing. Like, Nigel helped create this show.
Mm.
And the show has never... And Nigel's the first to say it, it's never been about the best dancer. And if most of the people who've won these seasons have never been the better dancer.
Mm.
Almost any season, really. So for him to say that to Cyrus like that, to put him on the spot like that, I thought was a little odd. But then as I started to think about it a little bit more, I think this guy's worked with Simon Cowell for years. Simon used to do the same thing on American Idol. When he wants to try to save somebody, he dogs them. Because what does that do? It rallies the base, and people start voting. So I kind of wonder if he's really trying to get... Because I think from a production standpoint, from Fox's standpoint, they want Cyrus to win. He's the more memorable of the two. He really is. They're lucky they had Twitch all those years ago, but it's been a while. They need somebody who stands out again. I don't know who won the last couple seasons from the... I don't know who they are. Melanie? She won last
Melanie,
year?
Melanie yep. won last year.
That's cool, yeah. whatever. But, like, she's not Twitch. So I think that he could have been playing a little, playing some little head games with the voters and the viewers.
Well, he got me, because I'm going to vote for Cyrus.
I'm going to vote for Cyrus,
I know, me too.
I don't vote week to week, I'll be honest. And I was like, this actually inspired me to get out there and vote for Cyrus.
Well, there you have it.
But the comments were I thought they were a little rude. I thought they were a little out of place. But again, yeah, if he's doing it from a political standpoint, it's going to work out in Cyrus's favor.
Yeah.
But it is interesting, because we've had a lot of past contestants throughout our season here. And, you know, they haven't necessarily mentioned it on air, but we get a little bit of the scoop off air, and they talk about some comments that Nigel has made to them in the past, and sometimes they're inappropriate, and I think this is a good example of that.
And the judges and Fox, they kind of want the show to go a certain way. They want it to end up a certain way each season,
of
where
course.
They can't completely control it, they can kind of manipulate it, you know, to
they
a
can
degree.
Help us.
Absolutely.
And they're launching the tour, which they advertised tonight, and it also makes the tour more interesting.
Well, there you have it. So do you have any news and gossip for us from the show? Anything coming up, or do you just want to go straight into predictions?
We can go straight into predictions.
Alright, let's do it. I'm going to let you ladies start. We've got two winners.
Now, you're two after winners. TV. Predictions.
There we go.
Dun, dun.
Guy, girl, who's winning, Corinne?
I'm going with Team Cyrus and Ileana. Get your life.
All right, Cyrus, hands down, is going to win. I felt like he's written his ticket a long time ago, but I'm going to go with Tiffany.
Ooh, I'm going to be the tiebreaker, so I'm obviously going to Cyrus. That's a tough one. It's hard to see who's going to vote. I think... Logically, Tiffany's going to win, because I think that the younger demographic really likes Tiffany. In my heart, though, I want Ileana. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not really going to give you a prediction. I want to thank you guys for stopping by. We're here again next Tuesday again. Tuesday also.
Yep.
For the finale of So You Think You Can Dance. It's been a fun season. We're going to wrap it up big with a big big guest next week, Spencer Liff. Corinne, where can our viewers and our listeners, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Just Sayin' 08, JustSayin08.
All right, and I'm at Kristen Burt, KristynBurt. See you there.
And your website, Kristen?
Oh, redcarpetcloset.tv.
You guys have to check it out. It's a great website. You guys can follow me on Twitter at _AJGibson and follow me online at www.ajgibson.tv. Thank you guys for stopping by. Have a fantastic evening.
Adios.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.